So
yeah, okay, so we're here down in the, it's about, I think it's about midday. We're down in the Chancery Inn pub on the banks of the Liffey, the lively stream of Dublin. And we're just having a little conversation here about media, radio, the possibilities of streaming, what can be done with all this technology as it is the moment. And the reason why we're talking about this is because we're attempting to make on Friday Indie Media Ireland's first live audio stream anyway, from a symposium about where media is going, where its boundaries are at the moment, how it can be pushed, what's going on. And that's part of the Darklight Festival, so that's an open symposium that's free that anyone can go to. And we've kind of jumped in and we're hoping to try to put out live over the net so that anybody around the planet can listen to it live, but also by that contribute, participate in the actual forum. So physically we don't all have to be there, but through these new virtual systems that are there now, we can all start to participate. And that's, if we start to push that a little bit more, maybe we can make a more decentralized, open, participative network of communication, and who knows what that might lead to. So I'm here with Owen, who knows a lot about how this stuff can go and what can be done. So could you just tell us a little bit about what we were talking about earlier?
Thanks, Dunk. Okay, first, I should be speaking into the microphone and not covering it with my finger. Thanks. I would suggest, first off, for streaming onto the internet or broadcasting onto the internet, if you think of it like radio, something that's very hot right now is called podcasting. It's that you record something, it's not live, but you record something, you encode it as MP3, you make it into an MP3 file, and then you put it up onto the web and just let people download it. And you might go, oh no, but then it'll be like really old by the time they get it. Well, my reaction to that is, if whatever it is you have to say is sort of stale or old 3 hours later, maybe it wasn't worth listening to in the first place. So I would suggest to anyone, even if they did have the technology, like say, and the money, like say RTE do, to do live streaming radio or video broadcast, before you even do that, I would suggest to record, encode, and upload the plain old-fashioned way that people do, and you leave the stuff up on servers, free servers like accessforall.net, the A Infos project, which is sort of an anarchist radio international project. People like JD and others have been doing that from Indie Media Ireland for years now, and that's the first thing I would say. Now, if you are going to, because I don't think that just because that's what people do, that, oh, well, then you shouldn't push the boundaries, because I think that's the idea that you're trying to do, I would say try online broadcasting. It's called streaming on the internet, and a good place to start is a website called Streamer P2P, that's the digit 2, streamerp2p.net, and there you can download a little piece of software onto your computer, onto your Windows computer, it's free, and you'll be able to listen to and watch even streaming media, and also broadcast, rebroadcast to others, and broadcast your own original content. So the idea is you stuff this, you download this little program onto your computer, and you are a user and interactor of interactive media this way. So in the order of sort of the checklist, what to do is get a computer with a microphone, etc., or line in if you're going to use the mic from somewhere else, record the stuff, encode it using software like, I'd suggest Audacity is free software for almost all computers, and it's very stable, like it really works. There's lots of free software that doesn't work that hard, doesn't work that well. Audacity has been tried and tested, and it's free, and use that, encode your MP3, encode maybe two versions of it, one which is nice high quality for people who have broadband access, they can download it and they'll appreciate that. But if it's spoken word, even people with broadband, I have broadband where I live in Paris, and I don't want spoken word in stereo, because it actually wrecked my head. I wanted to have it in mono. So record, if you must, one stereo, you know, 128 bits, you know, really cool sounding audio, and another one, I would go for, you know, GSM quality, like your mobile phone. We all use phones, and they're fine. They're fine. The quality's fine. So that quality, anyone can listen to. Someone on a modem will be able to listen to. And if what you're trying to do is share some message with people, which is, it's important that as many people as possible can listen to it, you got to encode it and upload it in such a way that as many people as possible can download it. So there you go.
And then in the terms of the, you know, like the technology is there to, when the people are there having their chat about whatever, wherever, that people from outside can also be part of that discussion, be it maybe just listening and emailing back in, or maybe listening and actually ringing in or something like that. Like, there's lots of ways, and I suppose the best case is where, you know, there's live audio and visual, so you're seeing on the screen who's there, and you can have your webcam or your camera. So, and it's trying to, I suppose, to allow this dialogue to happen. So I'm wondering, do you know if there is examples of, has this been done before? Like, we hear that big business, you know, does a web conference and stuff like this. But I suppose, like, when people sort of say, well, what's the point of this? Like, one obvious thing would be, if you look at the World Social Forum, like, not everybody can get to Brazil, we'll say. But maybe people could actually go to their local space, like the local social center, and go to maybe the four different rooms that will be linked live to four different spaces over in Brazil, and they can watch, but maybe they can also participate. And this is really, I think, the power for all this, because it can enable a greater global dialogue.
I agree, Dunk. That software in particular that I mentioned, Streamer P2P, it has a built-in chat client too. So it's a client, you know, for listening and watching, and it's a server for broadcasting, for streaming. It's also a chat client. That means that you, as a broadcaster, are also a manager in a little place where people can type. All of your listeners can sign up. Signing up means clicking on the chat button. It's very quick. It's all built into the client. They don't have to load any extra software onto the computer. And yeah, that means, for example, while they're listening, they can immediately, they don't even need to send you an email, they can immediately say, for example, wait a second, what you're just saying, you know, I've looked it up, that's not true. And that way they can interact. And as I said, you're the manager of that, so you can also, you know, you can also kick people out, because on these virtual spaces that you're talking about that we can create, we have to be conscious that not everyone is getting involved, will get involved for the right for reasons which are sort of going to help anyone else out. There's trolls, that's people who participate in an online forum just to piss others off. They'll say a lot of provocative stuff, not because they believe it, but because they believe that that'll provoke other people into a debate. And as always with online forums and things like that, you should not only rely on the kindness of strangers, you should always keep in the back of your mind that there are going to be some trolls, and you should have some way to just be able to moderate that a bit.
But I suppose, like, you know, with these things, like in the virtual world, we have to deal with them. But even in the physical world, we always have to deal with that. You know, like if you go back to the old days, say the Agora in Athens, people are sitting around talking about ideas. But there'd be different people coming in with different reasons, be it political, that they've been sent down to you know, on purpose mess it up so that some things don't go, whether it's political groups or someone's ideas are seen as being heretical or whatever it is. So that's always been there. But I suppose, yeah, and why I bring up the Agora is because, like, personally, I believe that, like, with this advance in technology, but also kind of the sort of shift in worldview that's happened because of sort of movements in science in the last, just in the last century anyway, that it really is, I think the world is going through a profound paradigm shift, like, and it's, I think if humans are still here in a few thousand years, I think they'll probably look back and go, oh yeah, like, okay, that time in Greece, in Athens and Greece, you know, people got together and they played at ideas, they explored things, they debated, they chatted about stuff. They were excited, they didn't really know where it was going, but they pushed boundaries. And that kind of led to what maybe is Western civilization. We've seen how that has grown to kind of global dominance now, but we've seen the negative side of that, like, you know, the ecological destruction, blah, blah, blah. But now people again are starting to to be able to be in a space to actually go, oh, hold on a second, what's going on in this world? What's good? What actually is, what means quality of life? And who's able to join this conversation, when that's really the critical thing, I suppose, with all this. You know, is it a big forum that you have to pay 900 quid to get to, like the last Velo City in Ireland? Or is it free and community-based, grassroots-based, where anybody can come in and participate and affect their local community? So that's one angle of it. But I'd just like to hear your views on that. But also then, maybe if you could talk a little bit about, earlier on you were talking about the, when one sort of node in this streamer P2P is set up, and then another one is set up somewhere else, it kind of sets up this kind of, it's like an organic, decentralized network starts to grow around the planet. Could you talk a little bit more about that as well?
Okay, yes, I will. It's called P2P, meaning peer-to-peer, because you may have heard of peer-to-peer networks as places where people download a lot of movies and music without paying for them. The way it works is, normally when someone is streaming, for example, a radio, when you go to RTE's website, you can listen to the radio. Your computer, as the client, is connecting directly to RTE's server, directly to their computer, and saying, please send me one copy of that, you know, start streaming my direction. I want to listen to that. And anyone else around you, if they want to listen to it, they, on their computer, also contact RTE's computer. And if, let's say, RTE has a very popular program which starts at 9 a.m., well, at 5 to 9, they'll have, let's say, 1,000 connections to their server. Their server is serving 1,000 customers. Well, at exactly 9 o'clock, their server might be serving 10,000. Well, the quality goes down because they can't serve 10,000 people as easily. Think of it like a restaurant with 10,000 people in it. You'd leave, obviously, you'd cook at home. But the same principle applies for even independent people if they want to stream directly. So as an alternative, what they try and do is this peer-to-peer streaming. The idea is every, as I said, that little piece of software is both a client and a server. Every person who's downloading means like to listen to the music, you're loading it onto your computer and listening to it through the speakers or the headphones. They're actually also rebroadcasting to others. That's how radio, originally radio worked that way too. Transmitter, your little radio receiver wasn't just a receiver. Everyone who could listen to radio could also send that radio signal on to yet more people. Now, it's the same idea, and the thing is, so if at 5 to 9 in the morning, how many people are listening to indie media? Let's say 10. Well, the thing is, on a good day, okay? Well, let's say if at 9 o'clock a live news summary for that day is going to be, you know, the 9 o'clock indie media news is going to play. Well, lots of people want to listen. Well, if you use this peer-to-peer streaming method, well then at exactly 9 o'clock, when all these people are all connecting, they're saying, I want that too. This piece of software on the computer isn't just saying, I want it. It's not just very greedy. It's saying, I want it, and I want to be part of this cloud, this sort of like, this whole group of people who are kind of helping one another out too. So I will rebroadcast too. And that way, the more people listening, the better the signal gets. Because everyone who's listening is also sharing a little bit of their own bandwidth. with the network. So if let's say once 100 people start listening to your stream, rather than it being a tenth of as good as it was before, you might find it's 10 times better, and that'll continue on and on and on. So for live news broadcasting, which I think is what we're talking about, it's especially good, because it's always been the conundrum for independent online radio broadcasters, is that you better hope you don't get too popular, because if you do, your server is just going to crash, because all these people, if they all start listening at exactly the same time, 9 o'clock every morning or every evening or 6 p.m. or something, bang, at that moment your server goes, what, all these people, I can't serve them, you know? And peer-to-peer gets around that by everyone helping out a bit, and in that sense, there are parallels with that and just what indie media is trying to do anyway, and what people with these, all the things, the other things you were talking about this sort of anarchist organizing. You didn't say that, but I think that's sort of what you're talking about. It's sort of like anarchist organizing, and that's how the technology works. That's not ideologically, it's not because the people in DARPA, in the United States military, who helped start the internet were sort of anarchists or something. It's just that works better.
And when you bring that up, like, cause still, like, the lots of people are still going, oh, an anarchist equals a bad person out in the streets throwing petrol bombs and breaking open things.
It does.
But also, it, like, when you start finding out, like, about Gandhi, Vinoba Bhave, when you start seeing, like, how people around the world are saying, how are we organizing? How are we working? What is the best quality of life? What systems are worth working toward? So I suppose hopefully through all this, more people will start to explore anarchist ideas and find out that it's actually a pretty fine thing to work toward.
I agree.
Anyway, we leave it at that. The lads are singing in the background here. So, by the way, the Chancery is an early house, so there's a girl dancing here beside us now. And it's always good. This is like, to bring it back to, like, to physical world, like Dublin, like Joyce talked about the Anna Olivia Flora Bell, this recycling or this infinite looping stream of water, and the water being like the Tao, the flow of life. But it's lovely to actually see life and be around Dublin's live stream, the Liffey, and seeing life good and alive beside it, because that's really what it's about. People enjoying themselves, people living, and people being able to live.
I agree, and I just want to say on that a final thing about some people who are right now by the Liffey, and they're not all from Dublin, they're not even all from Ireland or from Europe, activists and fellow travellers with the Pit Stop Ploughshares and the Rossport 5 are standing around vigiling outside the forecourt on the quays here, because both the Pit Stop Ploughshares, who disarmed a US Navy airplane at Shannon Airport just before the Iraq War, and the Rossport 5, who stood up to Shell to protect their own community from the risk of destruction, again standing up, speaking truth to power, much like the Pit Stop Ploughshares, have been up in court, and they're going to be up in court again. And so people, exactly, I can say, to be with people and people actually walking the talk, they make that image, that idea of life-giving movement and water come alive.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time and your pointing out stuff, which maybe it's obvious to some people, but we're struggling to find out more and more, because we're not doing it. Indie Media isn't doing it yet.
Thank you.